ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Imagine opening your next electricity bill and it's double what it usually is, and you've not changed your behaviour. Well, more Australians are finding themselves in a position where their power bills are rising because they've been unwittingly subjected to time-of-use tariffs. It means they pay more if they use power at peak times. Today, energy reporter Dan Mercer explains the tariffs and how they're leading to a greater energy divide. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Dan, wholesale power prices, they peaked almost 2 years ago, but since then they've fallen quite a bit. So tell me, why is it that our energy bills seem to still be really high, meaning a lot of Australians, of course, are struggling to pay them?
Yeah, they are, Sam. And it is an interesting one because, as you mentioned, the wholesale cost of producing power has fallen a lot since those extraordinary highs of 2022, whereas wholesale prices were up over $400, $500 a megawatt hour at times then. They're sort of around the $100 a megawatt hour mark now. But at the same time, I think it's fair to say that right across Australia, the number and proportion of households behind on their bills in energy debt, effectively, is on the rise. I mean, I had a quick glance at the figures from the Australian Energy Regulator, and it suggests there's about 100,000 households that are in energy debt in New South Wales alone. And keep in mind, those are customers in registered energy debt schemes paying that debt back. So it's likely to be a fraction of the real number. So yeah, power bills are a source of stress for many, particularly those who are already struggling with the overall high cost of living.
Yeah, of course. And there's some people that you've been speaking to who've been totally shocked to see a huge jump in their energy bill, not because of how much they're using, but because of how they're being charged for it. Tell me about time-of-use tariffs. What are they?
Look, they come in a few different forms, Sam, but basically they're just rates that vary depending on the time of day you're buying power from the grid. In short, they charge you more for power at peak times, such as in the afternoon and evening, and they charge you less for power in off-peak times, such as in the middle of the day, when output from solar panels typically is flooding the market and causing wholesale prices to crater. Importantly, they're very different to the type of flat electricity prices that most of us would pay, where it costs the same for a kilowatt hour of electricity, no matter when you're buying it from the grid. Time of use tariffs, they're popular with economists because they're supposed to make the grid more efficient. They're supposed to encourage people to use more power when it's abundant and use less when it's expensive. But of course, economic theories can clash pretty rudely with the reality of people's lives. One woman, Angela Hyde, who lives in a place called Berry in South Australia, a couple of hours east of Adelaide on the Murray River, she recently received a quarterly power bill for $2,000, an amount more than double the previous bill.
That's a lot of money for me. I was horrified when I saw the amount and I thought, how am I going to pay this?
Wow. Okay. That's a huge bill, $2,000. So just explain that a bit more for me, Dan. So even though she felt like she wasn't doing anything differently, she basically got this massive, huge bill. And that was what? Because she was using power in peak times, was it? In the morning and evening?
Yeah, I want to put a caveat in here, Sam, by saying that Angela's bill probably rose for a couple of reasons. And one of those was that it covered most, if not all, effectively, of the summer period, when the amount of power most of us use tends to go up anyway. You know, we're flogging our air conditioners. But her experience definitely seemed to suggest that she was getting stung by higher peak prices. And, you know, these were prices that she didn't actually know she was paying until she got the bill, suffered that shock, and sought advice from a financial counsellor. She was basically none the wiser until she actually sought that advice. And therein lies much of the problem, because the theory goes that people will change their behaviour and use less power at peak times if they're getting charged more for it. But how can you change your behaviour if you don't know you're getting slugged more at those times?
And I hadn't done anything differently. I hadn't bought any new appliances or anything that would change it except for the smart meter and the new times of use tariff.
So Angela was on a time of use tariff, but she didn't know that she was on that. But Dan, surely energy companies have to tell people if they're paying in that way.
Honestly, Sam, this is where things get as clear as mud.
Yeah.
Angela Hines retailer, French-owned firm Simply Energy, it declined the offer of an interview when we approached it a little while back. In a statement, it said it was the network poles and wires provider that installed a smart meter that allowed the tariffs to be changed. And, you know, as such, Simply Energy said it had no obligation to inform the customer. Now, this is all super relevant because consumers around the country, but particularly in South Australia and Queensland at the moment, it seems, are being shifted onto time-of-use tariffs in big numbers. And it's part and parcel of a shift towards these smart meters, which energy regulators want installed on every Australian home by the end of the decade.
So this new technology, the smart meters, means the energy companies have a much better idea of exactly when you're using your power, do they?
Yeah, they do. Smart meters just give the operators of the system, you know, so much more visibility over what's happening and notionally more control too. These regulators and parts of the industry say that smart meters also empower households by giving them much better insights into how they're using power and how much it's costing them. Customers will be able to respond accordingly and save money, the theory goes. And certainly that's true for some households. Think people who can work from home, people who've got their own solar panels and a battery and can store their own power for later in the day when those peak prices would be high.
But it's pretty hard for a lot of other people, isn't it, to actually shift when they're using power in the middle of the day, for instance. They might be out at work, the kids are at school. Like, it's really difficult.
Well, I don't know about you, Sam, but I reckon in my household it certainly would be. And
yes,
for many, many people, it definitely would be. It definitely is, I'd even suggest. As mentioned, you know, the whole premise of time-of-use tariffs is that people are given a price signal about the underlying costs of power at any one time and they can respond to that, i.e. use more when it's cheap and use less when it's expensive. But of course, a lot of people can't shift their consumption of power. And this is where the concerns are really coming in, because there's a fear that these tariffs are going to punish people who can't change their behaviour. And often these people are the more vulnerable in society.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, I use most of the power in the morning and the evening when we're all at home, and the middle of the day, we're just not there. So, Dan, let's look at how we can actually come up with the best plans for our needs, because it sounds like it's not that easy and that many people don't even know what plan they're on.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, it depends where you live. But certainly across much of Australia's eastern seaboard, where much of the market is in private hands, it does seem there's, you know, what you'd describe as a bewildering level of complexity that's often involved. And without understanding how the charges work, consumers have little ability to deal with it. Some households are being forced onto variable tariffs, you know, time of use tariffs, or signing up voluntarily without fully understanding the risks they face. Ron Ben-David ran Victoria's Essential Services Commission for over a decade until 2019. He was the energy watchdog in Victoria, and he's alarmed by the level of complexity in the market.
The problem we face is that as contracts become more complicated, as engaging with the energy market becomes more complicated, it may be actually become beyond human comprehensibility to work out what's the best contract on offer for you. Right now, all the risk lies with a customer. It's up to them to shop around for the best deal or the right deal for them.
All right. Well, Dan, I guess part of this comes down to choice, doesn't it?
I guess look, it is and it isn't about choice, Sam. On the one hand, the mantra is that consumers need to shop around to get the best deal, that they need to hustle to avoid getting stung by high prices and get caught paying a laziness tax, if you like. But on the other hand, and really in this instance more importantly, this is about giving consumers a choice about whether they should go on time of use tariffs at all. Lynn Gallagher, who's on the board of the Australian Energy Regulator, says it's imperative that consumers have that choice about whether to move on to time of use rates or any complex variable rates, and that retailers properly explain the pros and cons involved.
We want customers to know what kind of tariff they're on, how it benefits them, how they need to manage it. If they've chosen it to be on a time of use tariff, you know, if you've got an electric vehicle and you're charging during the day, it can be highly beneficial. You can actually really save quite a lot of money. Whereas if you're going to be charged peak rates for your air conditioners and you don't know that's how you're being charged, that has, you know, has risk of consumer harm. So yeah.
There's also the argument that time of use tariffs don't need to be charged to every customer to reduce costs in the electricity system and provide those widespread benefits that regulators are so keen on.
So, Dan, what are energy providers saying about all of this?
Well, they say that consumers are being given a choice, Sam, and that a requirement on retailers to provide that choice already exists. But I'm going to go back to my previous comment about this being as clear as mud. Because according to the Australian Energy Council, which represents big energy retailers, a retailer is supposed to tell a customer at least 5 business days before a change of tariff takes effect. But technically, the retailer can leave it until the next bill after the change, and that can be up to 3 months. And as we heard in Angela Hyde's case, she doesn't seem to have been adequately notified at any time.
If I'd known previously, I could have put more money aside to try and cover at least some of the extra, because I've always put money aside for the power bill, knowing that it's a large bill, and I've not always had enough in the bank to pay it. And this time I haven't. And if every bill's going to be like that, I won't ever have the money to pay it outright.
So what about this inequality issue that we've discussed, this divide emerging, I suppose, between Australians when it comes to energy and how they use it? What can we do there? What is being done?
Well, it doesn't seem like choice in and of itself is the solution to that problem, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
I think to the extent that customers can choose to go onto time of use tariffs, if they can benefit and the system can benefit, then so much the better. But for those who can't benefit, you really have to ask whether they should be forced onto or even really nudged towards time of use tariffs at all.
And in the meantime, Dan, have a good look at the plan you're on, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, Sam, but there are no easy answers here. I mean, you're seeing governments try to get on the front foot with the energy equality or energy equity question by promising billions of dollars for solar panels and energy efficiency measures for poorer or disadvantaged households. And no doubt that sort of thing will help. But what probably won't help is shifting people onto complex power pricing schemes they don't or can't understand and that will only end up hurting them. And there's a worry, and perhaps it's a reasonable one, that doing so will only make energy inequality worse.
Dan Mercer is the ABC's energy reporter based in Western Australia. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald with audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. To get in touch with the team, please email us on ABC News Daily at abc.net.au. Thanks for listening.